Hello, good evening, and welcome to New Life Radio 106 FM, broadcasting from Limavady Baptist Church. We'd like to extend a very warm welcome this evening to Crown College from Tennessee and their students who are here to share with us some music and some testimony of their work in Mission England. I've got with me just now the principal, James Anker, and his wife, Genevieve, and I'm going to ask James and Genevieve a couple of questions as an introduction to our evening program. James, what is Crown College?
Crown College is a Bible college that was started in 1991 in Knoxville, Tennessee. It began specifically for the purpose of training young men and women for working with getting the gospel to people. My wife and I have the privilege of being a part of the extension of Crown College in England, and we have students who come here to do that very work, to get the gospel out and to help local churches throughout the country of England.
Question for you, Genevieve. What are you doing in England?
Well, we've been able to establish the Beaches Road Baptist Church there, and it's been a wonderful opportunity. And we have students come over every term for 4 months at a time to help us both there in the Birmingham area and also in different churches around the country to encourage the Christians and the pastors there, as well as preaching the gospel to the lost.
Thank you, Genevieve. James, another question for you as to the aims of the college.
The great aims we have are twofold. First of all, in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ instructs us as the work of Christians to strengthen the things which remain. And so our great idea there is to try to strengthen churches that are existing and working and trying to reach the lost in their communities. We send out young people to help them every weekend. There are young people all over the country, from Exeter to London to the north of England, and even in the country of Wales as well, speaking to people and encouraging churches. The other great aim we have is to establish New Testament churches up and down the country of England. We've already been given the opportunity to do that in the Birmingham area at Beaches Road, and also in the Oxford area, and we're very thankful for those two churches that have been started over the last 5 years. We've just been given another opportunity in the city of Brighton to begin a work, and so we're very thrilled about that. We believe this is God's open door, and we're praying that the Lord will help us have the faith and the wisdom to walk through that door and see a great work established for His glory there in Brighton.
Oh, thank you. Well, just before we interview some of the students, I think what I'll do, James, is stop asking you questions, because you'll be online with Norman Somerville, and he has warned me not to be questioning you too much. So we leave it there, and thank you for your contribution and introductions. Do you have a favorite piece of music you'd like to play from Crown College?
One of my favorites is entitled "There Is a Savior" by the Crown College Choir, and I trust it'll be a blessing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome back to New Life Radio 106 FM, broadcasting from Limavady Valley Baptist Church. We'd like to introduce our first guest from the college, Tim Robertson. Tim is a student with the college in England. So I want to ask him a few questions and give him the floor to respond. We're not going to put a time limit on him, but we'll ask these questions and let's pass it off to Tim for some answers. Tim, first of all, what are you doing in England?
I'm studying at Crown College in pastoral ministry, and through that study, we have several days that we're in class and do Bible study, and in other days of the class, we would have on hands, which mean we would go out into the streets, we would minister, we would do open-air preaching meetings. We would go into different churches around the communities in the areas of the UK. We would work in those churches doing Bible studies. We would do Sunday schools. We would do open air meetings. We would be preaching, giving our testimonies. Whatever the pastor of that church would require or ask us to do, we would minister to them.
Okay. Well, Tim, I think you need to tell us where you're from and you need to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I'm from Roanoke, Virginia in the United States of America. I'm 41 years old. I am single, live by myself there in Tennessee, moved to Tennessee in 2003 to go to Bible college after the Lord had saved me and I'd given my life to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us about how that came about?
Yes.
Your testimony?
Yes, sir. A little bit about my life. When I was growing up, I grew up in a single family with just my mother. My dad left when I was two. And I grew up going to church every week on Sundays and Wednesday evenings. Growing up, all of my life was told that I was a Christian. When I became 18 years of age, after being told by my mother and others that when you were a little boy, you trusted Christ as your Savior, when I became 18 years of age, I decided that there was no more rules and no more bosses, that I was going to go out into the world and live my own life and do my own thing. So that's what I did at the age of 18, after sampling some things in the world. I began to use alcohol, go to the pubs, live a life of total sin and selfishness to myself, and did that until the age of 31. I had a severe drinking problem. The Bible calls it sin. It's not really an addiction. God calls it sin. I did that for about 13 years. And at the age of 31 years old, God began to deal with me and work in my heart. And through that, He showed me that the things I was doing were wrong. They were sinful, not only against my parents, against the world, but they were sins against God Himself. And through that, God convicted my heart of sin. I realized that I had never really became a Christian. I was only told that. I had only gone to church and done those things that were outward in appearance to man, and that it was nothing real in my life. So at the age of 31, God dealing with me, I realized that I was lost. And I called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I asked Him to forgive my sin and trusted Him as my personal Savior. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that day, God changed my life. Things since then have not been the same. At the age of 31, that same year, around 5 months after I gave my life to Christ, I looked at Crown College and decided to go there, enrolled in the university, and have been there ever since. I took a little delay from college in 2003, and God had some things to work out in my life to mature me, to be able to go to university. Even though I was a Christian, there was a lot of growth that needed to be done in my life. And so it took me from 2003 really until last year for me to go back to school. And there now I'm studying in pastoral ministry, and I'm open to whatever God has for my life.
So how long have you got to do at college?
I have roughly around 3 years left.
Okay. And then?
Then I'm open to whatever God has. I'd love to pastor a church. That's what God's put in my heart to do, but I'm open to whatever He would have for my life.
Well, your experiences in England so far, in your street work, in your door-to-door work, what sort of experiences have you come across?
Well, lots of experiences. In the open-air work, we've had people to come by and to criticize what we're doing, tell them stories of things that we're saying are not true, and there's no God and things of that nature, but we know that's false accusations that there is a God, and we know that because of the change for me that He's made in my own life personally. I've met many people here that have been converted, one young man in particular by the name of Mark, who has trusted Lord Jesus as his personal Savior. who was in drugs and really an addict in sin. And God's changed his life and taken him from those things. And many others. We've seen many people baptized and their families changed and come to know the Lord. And it's been a real privilege to be here.
Prayer. How does prayer in your life affect your life? And how important is it in your life?
I believe it's very important. We've come to realize that without the Lord, nothing can be done, even in the ministry here and the work that's been done here, even in Beaches Road there in Birmingham. People have said that this can't be done, nothing can be done here, the work is impossible. And we've seen God work miraculously through prayer, and we know that through prayer that that's the only way things are getting done. And for my own life personally, it seems that there may be days that we want to run out of the house in the morning and not spend any time with the Lord and those kind of things. And it seems like everything imaginable will go wrong. But the mornings that we have those times of prayer and we spend our time in God's Word, that He makes everything to go right. And the Bible says in one area that when our ways please the Lord, He maketh even our enemies to be at peace with us.
Okay, Tim, if you had a message for the people of this district, what would you say? If you had a real message for the people of this district?
I would say that in some areas here, there's very dark places. And the world we see today, people want to say that there is no God. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's not me calling anyone a fool. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has said in His Word. And I would say to you today, if there's things going wrong in your life and you realize that your life is in a downfall, it's in a spiral, that nothing is going right, the only way that anything will ever be changed and that your life will go in a direction for happiness and joy, and the Bible says that God will give you peace, is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that He will change your life. My life verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Okay, Tim. Well, thank you for your testimony and your message. Is there a piece of music you'd like to have played from your college?
Yes, sir. The song is entitled, He Look Beyond My Fault.
Amazing grace.
welcome back to New Life Radio, 106 FM from Lima Valley Baptist Church. And we're continuing our interviews with students from Crown College in Tennessee. And our next student is Tyler Snell. Tyler, could you tell us a little bit about your background, where you come from?
Yes, sir. I'm from Somerset, Kentucky. I don't know if you've ever heard of KFC, but...
I have indeed.
Oh, yeah? Good, good. I'm about 20 minutes away from the first KFC ever made.
Oh, really?
So that tells a little bit where I'm from.
Do you know the recipe?
I wish I did. I've looked for it, but I can't find it.
Okay.
No, I've been raised on a farm, a cattle farm, my whole life. My parents have been raised through a good Christian background. I have great godly grandparents, and I've been blessed. I've been blessed to have the family I have. And the countryside is great from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Hope you get a chance to visit it sometime.
All right. I'll be in Kentucky. Kentucky Derby.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah?
Good.
So, very good. So, you're in Crown College, but you must have a testimony about some experiences in life when you met Christ.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's know about it.
Well, my life before Christ, I remember when I was about 6 years old, I went to a church service, and my cousins were there, and my family members, and my cousin and I were playing cards in the back. And at the end of the service, I remember they said something about salvation, or something about... trusting Christ. And so my cousin, he got up and went to the altar, and he talked to the pastor at the time, and he said that he wanted to be saved. So as I seen him do that, I thought, well, I've got to have it too, you know. If he does something, I've got to do it better. And so as I went down, I said something to the pastor, and I said, I'd like to do that also. But I didn't understand exactly what it was. And so that day I made a profession of faith that was false. And I knew it was false, because later on in my life, as I grew older, I knew that I didn't have anything genuine in my life. My life was without peace. It was in true conviction, because I knew that I was missing something. And so later on, as a 13-year-old boy, on October 31st, 2005, I was at a special meeting, and the pastor at the time was Stuart Mason. The speaker was Raymond Sorrells, and he was preaching on something to do with the series, but I don't remember the message exactly. But I remember at the end of it, I remember sitting in the pew, and there was my mother at my left. And I remember the conviction that rolled over me that night. I realized something that I never realized before. That I was on a way to a devil's hell. And if I did not have something, that I was going to be there. The Bible said that for all is sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that the wages of sin was death. And I knew that day that if I did not have something, that I was going to die and go to hell. And I became scared. I became in tears. I remember sitting there and such conviction, such weight on my heart, that I thought that my life was going to end that day. It was just so terrifying. But then I thought of something that I heard of many a time, about a Christ, Jesus Christ, who came and made a way when there was no way. And the Bible says in John 3:16, the verse that my pastor read to me that day, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And that day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I asked Him to save me. I didn't understand everything at the time. I didn't know exactly what to do, but I knew that I was lost and I needed to be saved. So I asked Jesus Christ to save me. I remember going down to an altar and asking the Lord to save me. And that day I was changed. From that point on, I had a desire for godly things, for holy things. I was not a godly person. I was still growing as a Christian, but I had a desire for it. And a couple years later, I was thinking about a Bible college or somewhere to go that I could learn more about the Christian life and learn more about serving Jesus Christ. And I had a couple of friends of mine that had went to Crown before, and I knew their life was amazing, as in amazing in Christ, and that they were very godly people. And so I wanted to be like that. I wanted to know more about Christ and serve Him with my life. And so I chose Crown College of the Bible through prayer and through a means of the Lord putting on my heart. And so as I came to Crown, I realized this is just my first semester there. Now in England, my second semester, but I've seen so much, and I've learned so much about the Lord and serving Him. And this life is a greater life than I've ever expected. There's things that have been put in my heart that I didn't think could be put there. My life's got joy in it that I didn't think I could ever have. My life's been changed since that day on October 31st, and it's been changed for the greater. It's been something that I never thought I could have. And so that's a little bit of my testimony.
Now, you're in England. You're working. Which part of England?
Well,
Birmingham, is it? Or
yes, sir.
Birmingham. So what sort of experiences do you have in, as your daily work in Birmingham?
Well, we broke off into a couple teams, and my team's name is Whitfield. It's just a name they give us, but we travel. We travel back and forth to different pastors or different churches or things like that, and we get to help them in a way. And it's very encouraging because we've been, I personally, I've got to go to Wales, to Scotland, and now in Northern Ireland. I've got to go all the parts of the UK, but back when I'm there, I get to go to maybe South and by the Sea and just places all different places, different pastors, and encourage them and help them maybe just clean out a building that they needed help with or something. But it's been amazing to see God's hand at work all over England. People still talk about it as if it's a place that's, you know, very dark, and it is very dark, but there's still light. It's amazing to go around and see the light in this world.
In terms of daily living, what part does prayer play in your life? In terms of, have you seen God work through prayer?
Oh, yes, sir. For sure. I can tell you about the times that I don't pray. And those times, I can tell you, are some of the most depressing times. Because I know that I can't do things on my own. And it's become more real as I've came to England, because I've had to rely on the Lord, and I've had to trust Him in my heart that it's not through something I can do, but it has to be something that He does through me. And so through prayer, I believe the Lord's blessed, and this ministry that we're in now, and even on a radio, being able to talk, that the Lord's given us things that in our own power we could never have done before. And so through prayer, I believe the Lord gives all His strength in a way that is accessible to us.
Okay. And so, you're a young man.
Mm-hmm.
Young men have dreams. Do you have a dream?
Yes, sir. When I was younger, I had a dream of being a cow herder, or a cow person. And that's what my father was, and that's what I've always wanted to be. But then, as I said earlier, I became a Christian, and I was focused on heavenly things. And I wasn't mindful of this world anymore. And so now I have a dream to someday become a preacher and to do things for the Lord. I don't know exactly what that will be, but I know for sure that I want to help people to know my Lord and help people know of Him.
If you had a message for the young people in Limavady and District, what is it?
If I could tell them something that was the most important to me and something that changed my life, is that this life is just a vapor, and it only is here for a moment and then it passes away. And if you do not give that life to the Lord, then it is wasted. If you could only see that the joy that the Lord can give and the life that He gives, the world offers nothing compared to what He has. And that would be my message.
Okay. Well, Tyler, you have a favorite piece of music for the college choir to sing?
Yes, sir. Under the Blood. That's one of my favorite songs.
Okay.
Amen.
Well, thank you. Okay.
Just make Christ did for me what I could not do. I came through the blood. Just like the Passover in Egypt's land, it took the blood to save man. Washes me clean, I'm justified when God sees the blood. Washes me clean, I'm justified when God sees the blood.
Well, welcome back. I trust you enjoyed that piece of music. It's my pleasure now to welcome Jackie Kaiser from Crown College. And Jackie's going to tell us a little bit about herself, her background, where she comes from, and a few details around her studies at the college. So, Jackie, welcome. And can you tell us a little bit about your background? Where
are
you from?
I was born in New York, but I only lived there until I was three. And then we moved to Tennessee, where I lived for 12 years, and then now we've been living in Wyoming for 5 years, so kind of from everywhere, really.
Okay. Was this because your parents moved, or?
Yes. Okay. My dad's job.
Oh, dad's job. Okay. I can understand what you're talking about. My children did the same. They moved around with me. Okay. So you're at Crown College now, and you must have a testimony to give before you get to Crown College, I presume.
Yes. Yes. Well, I was raised in a Christian home. I had really strong Christian parents. And whenever I was 4 years old, I went to Sunday school, and I heard the Sunday school teacher talk about heaven and hell and how if we weren't saved, then, you know, we would go to hell, and that really terrified me. So I went forward after, and I said a prayer, but I didn't truly put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. All it was a prayer. So from that point on, I thought I was saved. I said I was a Christian, but I didn't live any different from the world. There was no change in my life. And I went to church, and I knew how to walk the walk and talk the talk, but there was no true fruit in my life. I had no real conviction. And my family had no reason, really, to doubt my salvation or anything like that. They didn't know a lot of the things that I did, but God was still good to me, and even though I was rebellious and I was prideful, he still led me to Crown College, which was the last place on earth I wanted to go to college, but he led me there anyways, and that's where he really worked in my life and showed me that I needed to come to the end of myself, and he brought me to that place where I would come to him, and he showed me that I needed him, and I needed to trust in him as my personal savior, and he saved me, and I was converted whenever I was in college. And so since then, he's been doing a great work in my life. He's brought me here, which has been my dream for the past 5 years.
Okay.
So it's really
all
nice.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
He's been good.
So you've come to England. You had a dream.
Yes.
And the dream was?
Well, to come to Northern Ireland.
To come to Northern Ireland. Okay. But you're in the UK. You're in England. You're working in which area? Birmingham? Or?
Yes. Well, on the weekends, on Thursdays, as you heard David say, we go to Brighton. I'm part of the Brighton group.
Oh,
and we go and do
Brighton.
An English class on Friday.
Okay. So, and what's Crown College doing for you?
Amazing things. It's changed my life, and it's brought me closer and closer to God, and just I've learned so much since being there, and so many things I never would have known if I hadn't have gone there.
Okay. I asked a colleague of yours a little earlier, what was your dream? You had a dream, you got here, but you must have a dream in terms of mission work.
Yes.
Okay.
I know God has called me to work with Muslims. And I don't know exactly where. I would really, really love to go to Israel someday.
Really?
And if not, of course, back here. But wherever God wants.
Okay. Very good. So in terms of plans the rest of this week, what are you going to do the rest of this week?
Well, we go and we don't exactly know specifics of where we'll be going, but we go to different churches and we just sing and testify and do whatever is asked of us, really, and Pastor Zinker preaches, and it's just, it's really great. We just do get to go and be an encouragement to other churches, and it's really good.
Okay. Well, I think we probably don't have many more questions for you just now, but you have a piece of music I think you like to play.
Yes. One of my favorites is the Midnight Cry.
Okay. So we'll have the Midnight Cry from Crown College Choir.
I see prophecies fulfilled and signs of the times. They're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father.
Welcome back to New Life Radio on 106 FM. And again, it's my pleasure to welcome Olivia Webster. Olivia is with Crown College in from Tennessee, but based in England. Olivia, very welcome to you. And a question I have to you, first of all, is tell us where you're from.
I'm from Leonardtown, Maryland, and that's about an hour south of Washington, D.C.
Always lived there.
No, I actually, I grew up in Utah for the first 10 years of my life, and I grew up a lot, around a lot of Mormon people, and so I always grew up knowing that there was God, but we ended up moving when I was about 12 years old.
Okay. I guess your dad's employment, was it? Or?
Yes, we actually came to visit Washington, D.C., and my mom just fell in love with it, and so my parents decided that they would try and move out there, and so my dad got a job down. He contracts with the government down there.
Okay, a nice place to be. And so you went to Crown College, but you must have had a personal testimony of faith in Jesus Christ before going to Crown College.
Yes, like I said, originally I grew up in Utah for the first 10 years, and growing up I always knew that there was God. There were people around me that went to church every Sunday very faithfully, and so growing up I would go to activities with them sometimes, and so I just always knew that there was God. But I always kind of wondered how to get to heaven, and at one point I even asked my mom when I was probably about 10 if she thought that I'd go to heaven, and she said that she didn't know, and that just really scared me a lot. And so we ended up moving when I was about 10, and we attended the Episcopal Church for a couple of years, but the Episcopal Church out there, they didn't preach the gospel, they preached more just love messages. Mm-hmm. And so we stopped going after one or two times because my mom just didn't really like it that much. And so when I was about 14 years old, I joined a cross-country team with my school, and I loved it so much. That was I just loved it so much. God just really gave that to me, even though I wasn't saved. And through that, I became really close to just the people there, and we became really close like a family. And after the season was over, I cried because I was just so sad that it was over. But I figured that we'd have next year. And so partway through that, the same year, my coach ended up being fired for just things that weren't quite right in his life. And so through that, he ended up going to church. And he was going to church when he was younger, but he didn't actually get saved. And so he realized later that it was just through Christ, and he got his salvation settled. And he ended up inviting my mom to church. And through that, my mom got saved, and she started taking me and my sister. And
I remember just hearing the gospel, and it was just so clear that it was just the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And growing up, I was always a good person, so to say. The Bible says that none are good, but I didn't ever say bad words. I didn't ever cuss or drink or anything. And but it was made very clear to me that I wasn't good enough to go to heaven. And so one night, one of my friends was talking to me about salvation, and she led me through how Christ, he died, he buried, and he rose again, and I realized that it was through Christ and Christ alone that it would save me. And so through that, I accepted him by faith as my Savior when I was about 15 years old.
Very good. And you came to Crown College.
Yes, I originally went to the University of Maryland for a year, and I was trying to study elementary education there, but it wasn't, I was trying to work it out, but God just put it, so I had to major in something else first, and it just wasn't working. And then I ended up going to, it was a retreat pretty much, and I was so convicted that I was supposed to go to a Christian college, and somebody suggested Crown College to me, and that's where I've been for the last 3 years.
And what are you doing in England at this point?
At this point, I go to different churches every week. We've been down to Exeter twice, and we stay with a family there that is so sweet, and we're trying to help them with their church. They have a club that meets every weekend and every Sunday, and they pick up children and they take them to the Sunday school, and it's just very encouraging. It's growing.
Some of your colleagues earlier mentioned English classes.
Yes.
How are you teaching the English?
Well, as I said before, I am American, and so we don't have the accents of the English, but we go to different places each weekend. There are some that go to Brighton, and then some stay at Beaches Road, and they help. And then I personally go to a shelter every weekend. It's a women's shelter, and we teach Islamic women and Indian women. We teach them English. We teach them about how to say certain things. We teach them vocabulary, and we teach them through that. We have Bible lessons that we go through. They will read through a Bible lesson, and we help them just understand the gospel through that lesson. And we go through culture lessons as well and try and teach them about the culture of England.
So it's really multiculturalism, teaching foreign people, foreign nationals, the English language. That's what you're doing.
Yes.
Okay. So our listeners are clear
about
what you're actually doing. And that's an opportunity then for you to present the gospel, I would think.
Yes, it's wonderful because we do go through vocabulary and we have lessons, and then at the end we'll have them read through a gospel story or some kind of a story, and we will present the gospel to them through that story, and it's an amazing opportunity.
Can you give us an example of some of your experiences?
Well, we particularly have two women that come faithfully every weekend, and they, we will go through, we start off with an icebreaker. We'll have an icebreaker, and we kind of get to know them, and then we have a lesson that we prepare, and it's Mrs. Inker and I that do it, and we will go through the lesson, and we have vocabulary, and we'll try and help them with things like something that we've been working on lately is talking to people on the phone and what you say to people on the phone and how to be polite in English because things are just different. And they'll ask us questions, and we kind of help them out with that. And then at the end, right now we're going through the four different Gospels, and we presented the Gospel, what the Gospels are, and we show them a Bible and what the New Testament is and the Old Testament. And then we've been through the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, and we present to them why the different Gospels, why there are four Gospels, but there's only one actual Gospel. So there's four different accounts, but there's only one Gospel.
There's a lot of young people out there listening to this broadcast. You're a young person.
Yes.
There's a lot of people out there, and they're in drugs. They're trying to find satisfaction for life. I met one young man downtown one night, and he said to me, he's 21 years of age, I just want to close my eyes and never open them again. That's sad, because when I was his age, I was full of life. What are you going to tell him? If you met that same guy down the street, what would you tell him?
Well, I tell him there's still hope. There really is hope. I'm 21 now, and when I was younger, I was definitely, before I was saved, I was getting into things that I definitely shouldn't have been into. But now, just being a Christian, I am so much happier than I ever was just by accepting Christ as my Savior and just realizing that everything has been taken care of and that I can take everything to Him in prayer. And the world may seem dark now, and it is dark, but God is so good, and He's just above everything. And I just encourage him to put his faith and his trust in Christ. And if he has any questions, just to phone in or whatever. And it was just God is so good and he can take care of him.
Okay, Olivia, thank you for your testimony. And if you want a piece of music you'd like to sing with
yes.
Pride College?
I love the song, I Am Not Ashamed.
To Own My Lord. Thank you. Welcome back. Our next guest is Erica O'Byrne, and that's a good Irish name, O'Byrne. Erica, you're with Crown College in England. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from?
I originally grew up in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and I went to a Christian school there my entire life. And when I was 18 years old, after I graduated from high school, I moved to Churchville, Virginia, and I've lived there ever since. I'm 21 years old right now.
Okay. And you have a testimony?
Yes.
You want to tell us about it?
Yes. I'm very thankful that I grew up in a Christian home, and that I can say that my parents have been very good to me, and I'm very thankful for them, because if it weren't for them, then I wouldn't be where I am today. And I was one of those kids that always was dragged to church, and I went to church every time the doors were open, and I knew all the Bible verses and all the Bible stories and characters and everything, and but I didn't know for sure that if I were to die that I would go to heaven. I knew that I was a sinner, and I knew that there was nothing I could do to merit my soul's salvation, and I knew that even though I tried to do good things and I tried to obey my parents and I went to church every time I did, that wasn't enough. I knew that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I had to put my faith and trust in that and that alone to take me to heaven when I died. And when I truly was convicted of my sin for the first time at 10 years old, I really knew that Jesus was the only way, and it wasn't anything that my parents could do for me. I felt like my entire life up to that point I was relying on my parents' faith, and it had never become personal to me. And I realized that I was a sinner, and I was lost, and I needed to accept him as my own personal savior, and it was nothing that no one else could do for me. And when I was 10 years old, in March of 2001, I accepted the Lord as my personal savior.
And he has done so many things in my life, and I'm so thankful for that. All throughout my teenage years, there were so many things that I went through, and it's just amazing to see how the Lord can give a person such peace that cannot be from anything in the world. It can only be the peace that he can give you. And I can honestly say that when the Lord finally brings you to the point where you realize that he is all you have, then he truly shows you that he's all you need. And I know he really showed me that my teenage years, and he ended up bringing me to Crown College. And for the first, when I was 18, I did not have any desire really to go to a Bible college, but my brother-in-law and sister went there to Crown in Tennessee, and they were always showing me the college, always trying to get me to go. And at that point in my life, I was praying for the Lord's will, but I didn't really know what it was at the time. But every time I would visit Crown, I just really felt the Lord softening my heart. And he just clearly showed me that Crown was the place that he had for me to be. And I can honestly say it's the best thing that has ever happened to me outside of salvation is the Lord leading me to Crown, because he's shown me so many things since then. I'm so thankful for that.
So, you're now in England, and you're visiting us in Northern Ireland. What part of England are you working in?
I'm working at Beaches Road Baptist Chapel in Birmingham.
Okay, and what are the sort of things you do there?
I'm stationed at Beaches Road. A lot of the teams on the weekends travel out, but I have the opportunity to be there every weekend, and I absolutely love that because it really gives you an opportunity to develop relationships with the people in the church and in the community that you visit each week. And every Tuesday and Saturday, I am able to follow up on visitors that I've had able to come with me. And on Friday nights, there's a children's club that we do every Friday night, and it's called Treasure Club, and I'm able to be involved in that and teach in that oftentimes. And on Saturday, we have a youth rally where all the youth come out, and we're able to work with them. And on Sundays, I'm able to be at the church and work in the Sunday school in the afternoons. And there are some people that that have come with me a few times. One of them has come. His name's George, and there's another lady named Marina and another lady named Kelly, and they've all come with me since I've been up here, and it's just been great to see the Lord truly work in their life. And there's people that the Lord has really burned on my heart, because I know all three of them are lost. And I know that there's many stories you hear about people who, after praying for them for a long time, they expect to see results right away, so they stop praying for them. But I know that the Lord has really put them on my heart, and I want to see something live on even after I've left here. And I may not see them receive the Lord as their Savior while I'm here, but I know that the Lord will produce that fruit in his time, and that if he can work in my heart just like he did, he can work in the same in their heart. And those are people that the Lord has really burdened with me since I've been up here.
How important is your faith to you?
How important is my faith to me? It is very important. I feel like I said earlier, the Lord brings you to the point in your life where you realize that he's all you have, and he has to bring you to that point where you realize that he truly is all you need. And I don't know what I would do without my faith, because the Lord, there's so many things that, like I said, I went through a lot of things in my teenage years, and there's some things I went through that I know people in the world go through also, and I don't understand how they go through those things without the Lord, because I know in those times and in those situations, if I wouldn't have had the Lord, then I don't know how I would have made it. And I know the Lord always doesn't send things in our life to punish us, but he just sends things in our life to teach us and to draw us closer to him. And if it weren't through those things, and by God's grace, I wouldn't be where I am today. There isn't one thing in my life that I wouldn't take back, because I know the Lord has had a purpose for all of it, and he's drawn me closer to him and shown me so many things through it.
So after Crown College, have you had plans?
Well, I don't know exactly right now what the Lord has for me. I'm studying missions while I'm there, and I'm taking the TESOL classes. I know they've taught a lot about that. It's where we teach English as a second language to speakers of other languages, and I'm able to be involved in that while I'm up here too. And I don't know if the Lord has me to be a missionary. I know that I'm praying about whatever his will is for my life, and if he has that, I know the teaching English you can use in any part of the world, because there's international people, even in America. And if the Lord would have me to do that, then I know it's something that I have prepared for that I can use in the future.
Well, thank you, Erica. Any idea of your ancestry? Because it's O'Byrne.
I know my last name is Irish, but my dad actually grew up in France.
Oh, really?
And I know that I'm mainly French, but I'm Irish after that, so I honestly do not know.
Well, it's very nice having you with us. Have you a choice of song, or would you like to have us sing, or the college
yes,
sing
sir.
For you?
Yes, sir. It's His grace is sufficient for thee.
Okay, thank you.